Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
I was thinking almost a Left 4 Dead style, you know, when you're waiting for the helicopter.
All the Germans come crawling through the windows and one is huge.
Welcome to Pitch Please. Yimmy Yammer.
Yimmy
My name's
Yammer.
Alex.
Oh God, I forgot about that shit.
By developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
And Thomas, the Ideas Engine.
Oh, Yimmy Yammer, everyone.
He hates the catchphrase already.
I completely forgot about it, and it's back. I have to say
back.
It. Contractually obliged to say Yimmy Yammer every single episode. That's all the contract says.
That's it. In fact, that's all he's going to be saying for the rest of the year.
Yimmy Yammer.
All right. Look, if you've not listened to us before, the way this whole thing works is one of us is going to pitch an idea for a game, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show just trying to make it work, trying to figure out how it might work from the perspective of developers and also from the perspective of people who know nothing about developing but play a lot of games and think game development's pretty easy, right?
It's easy. Easy as hell.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, I had the perspective that, like, I remember playing Ocarina of Time, and I was, in my head, I thought development was literally just... I think it was, in my head, it was magic. And I was just like, oh, if they want something to happen, they just write it and it happens. Almost like writing a book where you just say, oh, if you want this character to do something in a book, you just write it and that happened.
I thought
when I was very young that game development was literally that. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, it's basically that. It's real easy. Okay. Yeah, just write it.
You've missed out several steps, two breakdowns, and, you know, lots of tears.
Lots of tears.
Hey, actually, talking about game
tears?
Development.
Oh, okay.
We can finally say, right, this is going to go out after the announcement. Chris, you're now the developer of a new game that you can talk about, right?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that when I was very vague in that episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that game where you do things for those people.
Yeah, it's that. What is it, Chris? What's the name? What's it called?
Star-tenders.
Pitch it to us.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Online.
I spoke over. Star-tenders.
What is
Star-tenders?
Well, I mean...
that sounds amazing, Chris. Do tell me more.
Intergalactic bartending game for VR.
I'm in.
Chris is so excited.
I am very excited, but I have spent the entire day fixing one thing. And it turns out I didn't need to fix it. It was just on the back end of Oculus's website.
So that actually is more... a good explanation of what game development is like, right?
Pain.
We're trying to fix the Oculus store. What?
Just trying to fix stuff. And then turning out that you probably need to fix it anyway, or breaking more stuff because you fixed that one thing.
Mm. Well, you know what? Star-tenders.
I made and played it.
He did make, and we will play.
Ah, great. So, I hope you do too, you out there.
Please
with
buy
a VR headset.
Congratulations, Chris. We now have, I think we can call you a veteran developer.
A serial developer.
Part of the podcast.
No, God, no. I've only...
Too late. That's your new introduction, veteran games developer.
I've definitely aged.
An old game developer. How about that?
Frail.
All right, look, on the topic of games, I've got one. Can I share it with you?
We've never discussed that before.
We never talk about games.
Yeah.
I have an idea for a game. It's not that well formed.
Oh, good. My favorite.
But I need your help.
On this podcast?
I need your help. Well, I feel like a lot of my pitches are like this. They're all kind of like pretty basic, simple ideas.
Yeah, you are a fan of the three-word pitch.
Just a bunch of basic pitches.
Okay, actually, three-word pitch.
Well,
right?
Hang on. You're actually compressing your pitch down to three words, or are you expanding it to three words? I want to know how formed this is.
I'm compressing it.
Okay, good.
To three. This is the pitch tagline.
One of them. This is like a game jam, except we're trying to guess what your game is based on your three-word pitch. Okay,
you're at a games restaurant, but it's instead of food, it's just video games that are coming out. Right, it's just pictures of games, and I'm bringing you your starter before the main course.
Okay,
and
okay.
I come out dressed as I've got the waiter, I've got the tray with the thing over the top of it.
Can we have more bread? We've eaten.
Oh, okay. Sorry, hold on.
Did you want to say shit? I thought it was a high class, right? Okay.
Sir, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, sir.
I mean, just get the bread.
Okay, look, the bread is right here. It's in the form of 1917, a roguelike.
This isn't bread. This is not bread. Hang on. Wait, did you say a roguelike roguelite?
I think I said a roguelite roguelike, but yes,
Or, what does that mean?
Okay, so we'll get back to that because that might be the thing that complicates things, okay? But basic level is, I was thinking the other day of the movie. You've seen 1917, Tom, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Seen 1917?
I've seen 1917.
I think the most iconic... how it could be a roguelike.
Yeah, I think the most iconic scene being him running, obviously all in one shot, but him running down the beach and the storm of soldiers behind him, running behind him and the explosions and stuff. It made me immediately think of Temple Run, and I don't know why.
1917, available on Android.
Yeah.
It's not that. But I was thinking about just the film in general and the idea of, because I usually have no interest in World War II stuff. Like, I don't like the shooting, the gunplay.
Boom.
It just doesn't really get me. Like, I know, Chris, you're a big fan of that.
I'm
a big fan of war.
I just don't like Medal of Honor, honestly. That word, I just immediately switch off.
Medal of Honor Airborne is amazing. It's a really, really good game. For some reason.
Yeah, no.
The thing is, like, I'm sure it would be, but there's something about, like, the World War II aesthetic that it's just old. Like, the guns are shit.
Modern war of 1917.
The guns are not shit.
The Beretta is... Wait, which one's the Beretta? Is that the pistol? I'm thinking of a different one. What's the bolt-action rifle? Right? That is a really satisfying gun to fire in any World War game.
You mean the American...
the car, okay.
The one that goes ding!
That's the best noise.
I can't remember the name of the gun.
I know this
because it's my favourite noise in any video game.
Yeah, that's such a satisfying gun to fire. And that's a World War II era gun.
Oh, fuck, what is it?
Well, there can be those weapons in this, possibly. But the idea is, okay, so for anyone who hasn't seen 1917, the idea of 1917 is that it's two characters who basically have to get from one place to another in order to warn a company of soldiers to retreat. They have a limited amount of time, and they have no idea where the enemy are. They have to go over, like... Just super dangerous territory. And the whole thing is told in one shot, or quote unquote one shot. It's a great film. But the genesis of that, like, of the game, came from
M1
Garand. About that,
I was about to say M1 Garand, but yeah.
The Garand, okay.
Yeah.
All right. The idea of the game came from thinking about that. And what if if this is your journey, like, you get sent off, you start off on the, you know, in your barracks, in your army headquarters or whatever. Yep. Say if, like, we're fighting for the British Army, we have to go and do the same thing, or we have some kind of objective that we have to go deep into our enemy territory and find and either save, or maybe there's a missing company or a company that we have to save or something like that. And it's completely unmapped enemy territory. You are a single soldier that has to run out stealthily or however you want across this completely unmapped terrain in order to complete your objective.
Okay.
And inevitably, you're doing this on your own. You're 100% going to die because you're going out into enemy territory. There's not just other enemies there. Like, there's going to be NPCs, there's not NPCs, but there's going to be, like, civilians and things who might be friendly. They might not be friendly. Like, there's God knows what events, what encounters, like a whole world of danger out there for you.
Sure.
You will 100% die at some point. But while you're doing that, your job is to map as much of the terrain as possible to then basically feed it back to headquarters like whether that's like a radio function or something. But basically, like, you're kind of uncovering a fog of war of this map. So in my head, it's like a DayZ size world or something like that. It's a large open world that begins completely unmapped. And if you were very lucky, or if you knew exactly what you were doing, you could just do the whole thing in one run, like he does in the film, because he's the hero. But you're not the hero. You're just like some scrub. So you go out on a run. You do everything you can. You do as much as you can. You find like locations for weapon caches. You mark out where enemies might be. You uncover some new areas of the map. You find some more intel as to where these, you know, your goal might be. And then you get fucking run over by an enemy tank, or something happens. You die.
Yeah.
And then you get sent off. And then you're the next guy. You're the next scrub who gets sent off with that intel that you have managed to feed back to headquarters.
Mm.
And as you're going throughout this mission, you're getting sent out. There's a day-night cycle. So
okay.
Positions of enemies change. Time of day affects things. Like there's, I guess, weather and I don't know how survivally it needs to get in terms of like temperature or hunger and all that stuff. I don't know. These are all the kind of questions I have. But basically, the idea of it being that rogue light mechanic of, or that framework of sending a soldier out over and over to uncover more and more information and territory until you finally complete your goal, which you could have done in the first go if you knew what you were doing.
I was thinking about this because I was playing, it's like any Dark Souls game. What if you only get the map information back and then can expand that map more if you go find the old body?
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking the same. That would be great.
Like, yeah, you have to basically retrace your steps.
I think I think you should
be able to
reach checkpoints. That is kind of Dark Souls-y in you. If you are on death's door with this one character who's gotten quite far and you haven't rested at a checkpoint or whatever, or retired this character or whatever it is, you need to push yourself further. Otherwise, this information you've got it's recorded in your memory, sure, from having played this character, but it's not recorded on the map. It's not recorded for intel for future soldiers to send out.
Yes.
I do like the idea of the people you send out, you choose who you can send out. Maybe it's through loadout. You can give someone like the survival shovel thing. And with one character, you can run out and you're like, well, I mean, I can see a path through here. I can't get through this, but I can mark it on the map for the next person to come through. I'll send a message back to camp and say, send someone out with a survival shovel and they'll be able to dig out this path here or whatever. But you have to get to the checkpoint to, relay that information back.
So, yeah. So that was one of the things that I was thinking was that, like, perhaps you have, one of the things you always have on you, no matter what soldier you are, get sent out, you have a radio, or you have basically some way to contact headquarters. And if you don't, like you're saying, if you don't send off that information before you die, then it's lost.
Yeah.
And your map doesn't update and you don't get those objectives. And I think that could, like, I don't know whether that is a frustrating mechanic. I don't know. But I guess before we get too far into it, what's everyone's like just initial thoughts of it?
Yeah, I mean, just to expand on what Chris was saying a little bit about, you know, going to find the dead body, you could have a flare gun on you, for example. So your dying moments, you could send up a flare. And then you can try and jot down where that flare roughly is on the map and then go and find them. I definitely like the idea that you've got to get to a checkpoint, to a radio station or see it in films where, you know, they find the resistance or something, or they go into a broken down building and they've got like the little radio there. And, you know, maybe it's the high risk, high reward. You've got to try and like get as much intel as you can before sending it back to base, or, you know, you could just risk keep going out to the same location.
I think another thing you can do, sorry, Chris, I know you've got something, but fine. I think another thing you can do is the moment you get to a communications tower or whatever it is, that is effectively retiring that character, because you're using the enemy's communication to send back to the camp. The moment you send information back, they know where you are. And that's, right. that's, you know, that's your decision where you're like, I've got a lot of information. I could either kill this character now and get the information back, or push further and try and get some more and then retire the character. Because I guess there's nothing really stopping you from just saying, I've got some information, I'll send it back. And then move on to the next checkpoint and send that back, and move to the next checkpoint and send that back.
Yeah.
So I think thematic way yeah. of having that character be like killed and retired, that could be it.
I mean, just quickly before Chris goes, I just want to jump in, because maybe rather than retiring the character, because I know you get like attached to the, I always get attached to the character. It's like, I want to let that character go as far sure. as I can. Maybe it's just, if you use a communication station, the heat is on. It's like, it's got one star, like in GTA or something, you know, it's like if you keep using the same communication location, God, that's hard to say. it's more likely, they're more likely to get discovered. They're more likely to triangulate where the communication is coming from. So I don't like the idea that you'd necessarily retire a character immediately from communicating, but that they're going to be more likely to get shot from then, right. from that point on.
I think, yeah, it'd be a cool moment of like, I'm going to use the communication station, and after you do that, you then know, fuck, they're coming. And so you could make an attempt to escape. It's very difficult, but you can make yeah. an attempt to escape. And if you do,
I was thinking
amazing.
Almost a Left 4 Dead style, you know, when you're waiting for the helicopter.
All the Germans come the crawling through the windows and,
yeah.
and one is huge and he throws a car at you.
Oh, man, yeah.
Maybe not exactly like Left 4 Dead, but I get what you're saying.
Chris?
Well, they kind of retconned what I was going to say anyway. And actually, I agree with Tom.
Okay.
I really like the idea of retiring a character, because I mean, yeah, you do get attached, but it is also like one of the bloodiest wars in history. Like,
it should be brutal, shouldn't it?
So what I was going to say is, because I at the start I said when you retrace your steps and you go find your old body, you get all the information, like all the mapped places you've been. That doesn't really work if you're retracing your steps, because you're going to go over exactly the same places you've just been and probably. Mm. You're just getting the same information back. So my idea was going to change to you get all your map markers put back on your map. So right, then if okay. you place some, so I've just picked up my old body, so I've got all my map markers back. I yeah. place more, I die. That third character comes through, they get all of the previous map markers back. So I don't have to, so I'm like, oh, I remember, like Tom said, there were some places where I needed to have a shovel. I've got one now. But I've kind of forgot where it was. But I know where I died, because there's a flare. Or, you know, the flare's gone up. I can roughly see where it is.
Right.
And yeah. I get that back, and I get my map markers back where I've tagged the location where I need to dig or I need to do this. Does everyone see this? I'm assuming DayZ style third person / first person large open
that's
world.
That's how I imagined
honest,
it.
I'm imagining it maybe because I've played quite a lot of this recently.
You're gonna say Project Zomboid.
I'm impressed with the massive versatility you can have in a game like Project Zomboid in that style. And I think just because I'm so impressed with how much can be done from that perspective and in that survival element style, maybe not so aggressive with like, you have to consume 400 calories to survive the night. You know, I think it works in that way. Again, I'm not vetoing like a first person game. I'm not vetoing anything else. I like that style.
For me, I'm getting real Metal Gear Solid vibes,
yeah.
you know, with that third person. And I like the idea that we could hide in a box or a
patrol.
Bin. Or,
well, yeah, but the thing is, know. Like, time of day changes patrols. So you can be like, okay, there is a, you know, German patrol from midday till six here. So next time I come back, if it's, you know, I can either wait it out and I can get a clear path through there, or I can find another way around, but I know that's a quicker route, but I do have to wait and not alert them, whether how we, you know, whether we do waiting in a certain, as a mechanic, like in like Skyrim or something like that, that could work. And I really like that. And I think that's what made Metal Gear Solid a great stealth game, but this game isn't really stealth. We could be, it could be like, you know, a Dishonored where there are different routes to attack any situation.
Yeah.
But there is a game called 1111 Memories Retold, which is a World War One game, which has no bullets get fired in it. So it's very much an Alex story game, which I think you'd like. It's made by Aardman,
Okay.
Oh, I have heard of this. Yeah. This was their first game.
Memories.
But yeah,
I was immediately sort of thinking about that because I really like the art style. It's all like oil painting.
Mm.
I think that's a bit too stylized for this kind of game where you need to see details and you need to be, you know, like maybe there's things you got to notice that's just too
How is this one played? Is it like a text adventure thing with just pretty backgrounds or?
It's a narrative story.
Right. Okay.
You know, lad.
One of those.
I think that's in the review. It says narrative story, lad.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it's just a really nice non-violent World War game for you, Alex.
I mean, for me, I've been wanting to check that out for a while. But like, I mean, for me with this, I know this is like unusual for me, but I really like this one leaning into more of like a really brutal action, not necessarily like full on action, like first person shoot style action, but just like survival, like really ramped up difficulty. Like, I think it should be really fucking hard because it's the World War. I think you should be able to get infections and stuff.
You could do a bit like Green Hell where you get infections, and which is a survival game, but like a very intense survival game. But I think going back to Tom's and James's thing, I need to call you Dan for some reason. Don't worry. James's thing about, you know, wow, even if we do have the communications array, which is what I'm going to call it because it's easier to say.
Yeah, that works.
That
a good rhyme.
Maybe
too.
Instead of like just alerting, maybe it gets like shelled, you know, mortifier, because that was one of the big things when you were seeing like Band of Brothers and stuff like that. They're just dug in foxholes getting absolutely hammered by shells. Mm. There's nothing you can do apart from just sit there and hope. So there could be things like that where maybe you can, you know, dig in or use something that's already there to dig in and just be like, I'm just going to sit here. I can sit and wait it out, or I can try and run.
I was just thinking about, you know, when we get to these communication arrays and we retire a character, do you think there's a precedent here to have multiple runs happening concurrently? Do you always see it being one guy that you're in charge of? Or could you say, right, I'm going to send out my person.
GTA 5 style.
And maybe they get to a point where you have to stop. Like maybe there is a section that you need to dig or need to release. Can you at that point go, right, I'm going to leave them and I'll send out my next person? Or do you always see it?
And then switch between them?
Yeah, and switch between them, yeah.
I feel like for me that takes away from the initial, like it's like the initial roguelite feeling of you're setting out on your own and it's a really fucking hard, it's a really hard journey.
It is
like you're one person out on your own, like a lone soldier, and they're sending you out on your own because only one person can get past, you know, like, The more people they have out there, the more it is you're likely to be spotted by the enemy.
You just don't have the soldiers spare kind of thing. It's like...
Yeah. It could be that simple. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not averse to it, depending if other people
think
that works as well.
I think it's easier to hide solo. Like, the larger the group, the more likely you are to be seen, right? So
I think once you get to the communication array, which is easier to say, I think maybe there's a chance or... Maybe, I don't know, maybe once you send that message, you then leave that character and you don't know what's happened to them. You just follow the information back to camp and the information is received, you send the next soldier out. Maybe when you reach that point again with the next character, you get to the communication array, which is easier to say, and you're like, this has been bombed, and you know that the character is in there or has been in there. Or maybe it's totally fine and you go in there and you're like, shit, he's actually still alive. And I can send him back and potentially reuse his character or something like that.
Right. I see. Oh, I thought you were going to say at that point, he just becomes like, they just become unplayable.
Yeah.
You're retiring them in that sense.
I think it would be cool to discover what happened to that person. And in the run after this one, where you've become attached to this one person, you're like, I really hope that when I get there, he's okay. Maybe you get there and there's like a blood trail leading somewhere and you're like, well, shit, okay, something's happened to him. I hope he's okay at the end of this blood trail. I mean, it does lead to how many events can happen to this character that you've left behind. And is it just a dice roll?
It's just Schrodinger's soldier.
Yeah, I just think it would be, if there was some way to recover character or just discover what actually happened at the end of their story and it's just seeing that
kind
that
of
happen.
Emergent story stuff. Yes, that sounds really, really cool. Like, I'm yeah, totally
but I've got a that. potentially controversial idea, and this is something that might be a solution.
Okay. It's gonna
to
be cards.
It's not cards. No, it's not anything like that. It's a potential solution to setting a roguelike game in a realistic world. Kind of.
Okay.
Because things like Rogue Legacy, the castle that you're raiding or whatever it is, changes every time, and it's magic. And so you never know what you're going to get every time you go in there. And it just works for that style of game. For something like this, if you progress beyond the point where you've communicated all the information back, what's stopping you from just writing it down in the real world and just saying, I know this is here, I know this is here, and not ever sending information back? What if every time, I know you're going crazy, Chris, but I have an idea.
You might say exactly what I was going to say.
I might do. What if every time you progress beyond the point that you have explored, it's random, and until you communicate it back, it's random. It's always going to be random. The moment you communicate it back to camp, that locks in that room. So these areas, these levels, these events, they are then solid. They're fixed in place, and they become the route.
That's exciting. Yeah, yeah.
I guess
that's awesome. What I was going to say, but I do like that.
I think it. I mean, I guess the only problem I have with it is the realistic World War setting we have, and every time you go through that door for the first time, quote unquote, it's a different area. Kind of feels like magic, but it adds to that kind of uncertainty of what is explored, and maybe I don't know. I guess you could play with the idea of like, oh, I've found the church and the abandoned rail yard. I'm going to send this back. Oh, I don't like these areas, so I won't send this information back and pray that I get better next time. I guess you could have that kind of play style, which is removing from it in a way. But maybe there's something that could be done there to make it fresh every time, and to make everything that you do unexplored territory. Until you lock it in, until it's explored and communicated.
That does sound pretty exciting. And Chris, what were you going to say? Was it similar?
It wasn't like locking in. I was just going to say, like, there is a way to make it feel fresh every time without having to alter the world. It's like, people can move. Like, I was here. Oh, last time I was here, there wasn't a small encampment here. Now there's a small, German encampment here. Even if it's just some tents and some soldiers and some barbed wire and whatever, or maybe, I've come there, there's now a tank patrol going through. You're like, okay, I now need to change up how I'm going to play this run. That might be there next time, so I'm going to make note of that, like, possible tank route, because there's a road there, so it's likely that it would go through the road. If you're going through the forest and there's a small clearing or a church, then next time you go back, the church can still be in the same place, but the situation that's happening at the church can change.
Mm.
So it could be a resistance group, and you're like, okay, that's fine. They're on my side, and I can restock here. But last time I couldn't because they weren't there. Oh, and next time you come, you find out they're all been killed, and you can't restock there anymore. And just down the road, there's a German roadblock. You're like, okay, now I have to play this differently. I think you can do it and keep it like grounded.
I think the only worry I have with that is I think the main reason I was saying Project Zomboid before is because one enemy in that game, because you are just one person against a horde, one enemy can ruin your day, whereas a game like Call of Duty, you're one soldier against 50,000 and you're probably going to win if your aim is good enough. I want this one to be just one soldier against you could go either way.
Yes, hell Let Loose. It's hell a war loose. Sim. Hell Let Loose is one bullet and you're fucked. Like, I love Hell Let Loose. It's a very good team game, but sometimes it does feel like I got shot out of nowhere and I just hear the dunk of my helmet getting shot and I'm like, oh, I'm dead. But it is that.
I just want it to be
to think
brutal.
About,
like,
am I in cover? Am I, I need to crouch along this wall because there is a group of soldiers the other side and they'll see me, or I need to crawl across this whole wheat field like Theresa May and just eventually get up.
I just think those two ideas are kind of at odds with each other of if we want it to be the church is still there, but there's three enemies there this time. Like, how much versatility in there if one enemy is enough to completely ruin an area?
What is the goal? What is the ultimate goal?
To stop the war.
Yeah, are you delivering something?
Yeah, essentially you are. Yeah, I mean, in my head, it was the first thing I thought was, oh, it's just 1917.
It is the movie, the game.
You have to get to another company of soldiers to warn them to retreat, because otherwise they'll die, and you have X amount of time to do it.
Okay.
And then I thought, well, you probably shouldn't be on a time limit. So maybe it's just you have to find a missing company. But I don't know, that like it can be anything. But
I was
thinking,
is there only one goal? Is where my head is at.
Well, it could be different goals, things along different the way. Goals per run, or other options. What are you thinking?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, do you have the side missions? You encounter soldiers that might need help, so you can then focus on helping certain people one particular run, or, you know, do you as the player have any onus on what the enemy is doing? Are you setting distractions so that a certain company can make their way to point B? Or, you know, I just don't have a good sense at the moment of am I just going from one end of the map to the other, and it's just fucking hard to do that? Because that's fine, but is there more going on? I don't know.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
So I feel like in my head, it's you are trying to get from one end of the map to the other end of the map, which is really hard to do. But to make it easier, you need to uncover more of it to be able to encounter and complete certain events. Mm. So for example, like Chris's faction, like Resistance faction, if you find these guys and help them out, then they will clear a certain part of the map that would otherwise be impossible to pass, or they will provide a distraction for you.
So it's a roguelite Metroidvania.
So the roguelike bit is something that I'll bring up later, because it doesn't really matter that much, and we don't need to have it in. But
I mean, it's already in there, regardless of whether you want it to be in there or not. Like, you are replaying runs.
I suppose like what I mean is by the roguelike element is that the roguelite is you dying over and over as a soldier, right? Coming back and trying getting more information, and that's the thing that you're carrying with you. The roguelike was when I had the original idea of just totally ripping off the 1917 of get to the company and save them before it's too late. So you have this whole thing takes place over, say, 5 days. And if you don't get to them in that amount of time, using however many soldiers you use, they die. And then your run is just completely fucked, and the campaign's done, and you have to start over again with zero. But I feel like that is too frustrating. As an experience,
maybe.
I
again, maybe that's a game mode.
What if it was timed? But say, like, okay, I've got 20 hours, right? I can die, I can come back. Say I spent 5 hours on that run. I now have 15 hours left with however many guys I want to go through. But at the end of that 20 hours, that's when the whole map procedurally regenerates and you get your new 20 hours. And it's like, okay, I've got, you basically, like, you go back to the start. And that's your new run. So it's not, they're like mini runs within a longer run, right? And it's all based on, well, I got the idea from kind of like Sifu, how you age up. And if you age up too much, you have to start the whole thing again from that age, right? You start the whole thing from like 20 or whatever it is.
Mm.
But every time you reach a new bit, you start from the age you started that bit at. So if I'm on act 3 and I'm age 40, I'm always going to start act 3 at 40 until I age up enough that I die properly and then come back at the start. So similar to that, but with time, I've got 20 hours. I can go through as many people as I want, but obviously I'm going to be wasting time by having to rerun routes that I've originally run. They can still change a little bit throughout, but it's when you run out of that end, like that full clock, that's when the whole map would just procedurally regenerate
have the main point still. Maybe the church is now really far over in the east, that little city is now over there. But I need to get there, but I don't know where it is yet. Maybe I can go up to a high point.
How would that work in terms of like procedurally regeneration? Is in like
rust, right?
What is the explanation for that in terms of like the soldiers going? Like, I'm just trying to make sense of it. Like, I know this is stupid, but like narratively, like what is like you have a new objective, and so you're in a different location.
So it's the only consistency is when you die, and then you bring out your next, you know, your next runner, right? But when it resets, it's like you never even played that. This is the battlefield now. Like it's that kind of situation where it's not like, oh, all of a sudden the landscape has magically changed. It's like no one knows that existed. This is your reality. Like this is it. Here you've got 20 hours. It's just a way of adds a lot of replayability, and I feel like keeps it fresh, but also gives you that like goal. I've only got an hour left. I need to just run. I can't make any mistake. I need to get that guy to the end point. If I die right at the end, I'm like, okay, I've only got 10 minutes. I can't really do anything. Maybe there is certain things you can do which could translate over. Maybe you can bury something. I don't know, like, there could be something you could do.
How frantic do we want this to feel? Do you want it to be like a somber affair where you're like, you're dug in, you're hiding, it's slow, but it's, you know, it's meticulous?
I want the experience to feel like when you've completed a run, it feels like that soldier does in 1917. You know, I think that's what, like, and maybe this is why it's difficult to, like, maybe I would need to sacrifice this stuff to make it more of a roguelite, but these kind of event elements, I think, could be really cool. Like in 1917, the really cool stuff that happened, sorry if you haven't seen it, but like the plane crashing and like the moment where he gets picked up by the soldiers who drive him around, and that whole fucking, the sniper battle in the little town, just that one guy that he's against. He's like this old, like, shelled out town. And then there is the quiet moments as well, where you find, you know, like you find a civilian and you share a little moment with them, you give them some food, things like that. All these little events that are kind of peppered all around the map that you don't have to, like, you're never going to encounter them, and you can't perhaps encounter them all in one run. But there are lots of these little things that you are going to run into that will have an effect on the outcome of your of this single scrub soldier.
How are you imagining the progression from zone to zone? Is it literally zones, or is it one continuous strip of a map from point A to point B?
I feel like it's one continuous map. Like, it doesn't have to be, but in my head, that's how I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, because if the map was laid out in a similar fashion to a lot of deck building games at the moment, you know, Slay the Spire, where you're at node A, that splits off into multiple paths, and you move on to the next zone, and either it's an encounter that you have to stealth through, or it's an event, and then it's just text based. Maybe that is an approach. However your character is portrayed in this, either top down Project Zomboid or third person or whatever it is, instead of them having stood next to a character and walking around waiting for this event to finish, maybe it's just a text event that shows up on the screen. The entire map displayed as a World War II style map with landscape and everything. I don't know.
Yeah, like an old wrinkled map. Yeah, that could be cool. I think, yeah, I mean, and that does mean that it can still have the stuff that I felt like I really would like to see in it, which are those moments. And, you know, even if they don't play out in third or first person or whatever, you can still have those moments of encounters with NPCs. And I feel like actually one of the games that we haven't spoken about yet, which it reminds me of quite a lot the more I think about it, is Deathloop, which...
Right.
Has anyone played much of that?
Yeah,
I haven't. I know the concept of it.
The way it works, like, I think it's really, really clever the way... Because it's a roguelite, but it does have a definite end to it. And you play that through... It's four different maps, but each map has four different times of day that you can... like in which you can arrive. There's like morning, noon, evening, and night, I think, or afternoon and night. And your ultimate goal, you have one ultimate goal, which is essentially to get, there's like eight kind of bosses that you have to kill or a certain number of bosses, and you have to get them all into one location at the end of the game. And in order to do that, you have to navigate your way through these four locations at different times of day. So, for example, if boss number one, say his name's Dave, is in here, he's in the lighthouse in the morning. Dave's in the lighthouse in the morning. He has no intention of going to the party at the nighttime. I want to get him there. So I have to go into the lighthouse in the morning, sabotage his experiment so that he will get frustrated with it and have nothing to do, and then he'll decide to go to the party. And you have to work your way through the day, arriving at these different places and basically just trying to coax people into all coming together at the end. And I think like that day-night cycle, the idea of arriving at these different places and stuff being different depending on what time of day you get there. You're not trying to coax people to get into a location, but if you arrive at a town in the morning, there it's totally filled with soldiers. But if you arrive there in the evening, then there's a small amount of troops and there's a civilian that you're actually able to speak to. And that civilian might help you, might give you a bit of food, or might distract someone for you, or might give you some information. And I feel like that time of day element could like really expand it if you're playing the game over several days or however long it's meant to be played.
I mean, I definitely like that idea. And, you know, that's an easy thing to potentially procedurally generate. You know, you just swap locations of where the civilian would be on, you know, from a, depending how we do it. If we're doing a Sifu thing where we, you know, age up and we keep playing the same game until we run out of troops or until everyone's dead or the 20 hours are up, then, you know, you start the loop again, that civilian's not going to be there. That's fine, I think. I think that can be explained away. You know, game logic is fine. Even if we changed up the landscape, I think you could explain it away. I don't like that as much personally. I think that would be harder to explain. You want to maybe build it around a real location, potentially get some real nice photo scans in there or something. I don't know, but
Quixel.
Yeah. This is hard. I don't know.
I feel like it's a bunch of different games.
This is such a big idea. Like, it's quite hard to narrow down, really.
Yeah. I don't know if it's too much, but like since you mentioned Project Zomboid, Tom, like in my head, that's just what it looks like now. And that's kind of a lot closer to what it is, but I don't know. Like we should probably start wrapping up. What is it to you at this point?
To me, I want to start by saying I really like this idea, and I think that there is something that can be taken from it. However, I don't know exactly what I want it to be, because there's a lot of different ideas and they are all conflicting with each other. And I'm sure there is a perfect combination of all of them that makes this into what I want it to be. At the moment, what I've got in my head is that Slay the Spire-esque node-based travel system where point A is obviously, you know, the barracks. Point B is the very, very top of this map where you're trying to get to. And when you click on these events, you move to that location and an event happens, whether it's a text-based story that is wonderfully well written and adds so much depth to the world and your character as a soldier, or it Hand of Fate style puts you into the game and says, right, this is the situation, you need to progress through there. And you know, if there's 20 soldiers there, you have to stealth through. If there's just one guy, you have to try and take him out quietly, or maybe have this intense fight against this one guy that could be the death of you. All trying to get to the communication relays to get this information back for the next soldier to run out. And if you don't, then that information is lost and is uncertain for the next person that goes out there. I want some of the event. I don't want this game to be all action, because the events that happen, I think, should have some interesting developments to them as you progress to them in the future. Maybe you find what would have been a great event early in the game if you got there. But when you get there, it's bombed out, it's burned down, it's ruined, and you don't know anything about this because that's all you've seen of it. But if you've been to this place before with a previous character, you're like, I know there was some people here. You get there and it's destroyed and there's bodies inside. You're like, oh, fuck, shit. Oh, that sucks. That's what happened with their story. And I want it to be predominantly a story building game where each soldier has events happen to them and you attribute this character to them. And the story of the world is what you make of it. But how the hell do you do that? I really like it.
That's what's so exciting though.
I just want to figure out exactly what it is.
I love the idea of each run feeling like it's your own 1917. And I think the two things that really excite me about it being this way are the first one being like once you get to the point where you suddenly realize that like you've respawned, you're setting out as a new guy and you're like, oh, I have everything I need to do it. I can make it on this one. I'm going to go for it. I know how to finish it. I can finish it on this run. And the other one being someone just doing a no info, full reset, level one scrub.
If they do, sure.
I think that's like a sprint. They just sprint all the way through to the end. Like one person's going to be able to do that.
There's got to be a really nice feeling, right, in terms of pacing, right, where you start and it's obviously easy. You're in allied territory. You're safe. Beautiful landscape is what I'm imagining. You know, it's all fields and like you're starting to run. And then there'll be a point where you get to and you go, it's starting to get scary. I could lose this character. Or even on your second run, you go, well, I got here last time and... I'm a bit
one more
scared.
Step.
Yeah, I mean, can I do it? I don't know. Yeah, really like that idea.
The game, I think, could actively work against you in certain ways where, you know, you've got certain amounts of resources. If you're stacked up and you've got tons and tons of ammo and healing stuff, then the game places some events to, you know, force you to use some of that stuff.
If you move slower and, you know,
if you don't have much stuff at all, the game just throwing you a bone and saying you found like a resistance encampment that is going to give you all these things, that will feel really satisfying. It's scripting it a bit, but all in the purpose of telling the story that you want to be told in this game for that run. I guess, is there a director in the background puppeteering the entire thing? Maybe.
I feel like maybe it needs just like a little bit of nudging here and there. I don't know. I mean, like, okay, James, what is it to you, or like, what do you think of this?
I mean I've just had like real open world views, you know, like a Breath of the Wild or a Wildlands kind of view to this, where you just literally start out and it's like off you go and you just start running into this wilderness and at some point you'll make a decision to send that information back. I'm still on the fence as to whether you should stop that run at that point. I think it would be more interesting if you kept the character, but by sending information back, you're more at risk of being detected and discovered. Because I want that real Metal Gear Solid vibe where I think there should be rewards for being creative with hiding in places or... You know, there's the real horror as well. You know, you'd find the dugout where a bomb's gone off and you'll play dead for a bit. You know, there's you can go harrowing with it, or you could be like, it's a nice adventure that you shoot a bit. I don't imagine you'll be shooting that much. Even if you wanted to go God mode and try and shoot your way to the end, you're using like, what was it? An M4 Garand or something?
You didn't have the ammunition for it. You can take out.
Oh, but the sound it makes, though, so good.
This is a tense experience. That's all I'm thinking. It starts nice and it gets real tense.
I think I like it. When you get to the end, your character should be basically crawling to the end. Like you're just getting slower and slower and slower, and stuff just takes so much longer to do. And by the end,
the one item finally that he has, like his little message that he has to deliver to the company. You just hand it over as you fall dead on the floor. It's just in your open hand.
Yeah. Or you get there and you're like, it flashes back to node number 4 when you got there, and it shows when the note slipped out of your pocket.
Or when you had to go swimming and the note like got all crinkled and ruined. Oh no.
I don't believe you. All right. Chris, what about you? Final thoughts? What is this?
I think I'm tarnished by my love of first person shooters, because I still see this as like helmet
shoot some dudes
visuals, which looks gorgeous, by the way, that game. And like the environments are great. And the forests are overgrown and they look great, and you're seeing enemies dip behind trees and behind another tree, and you just see flickers of these, and you're just stuck there and you're shitting yourself because you know that one shot and you're dead. But do you have the advantage? You can see them, but how many of them can see you? And that kind of thing is, I think, a really good way to set tone.
It makes me think a bit of Escape from Tarkov.
Has
it
got a bit of that? So there's another game I play quite often. But obviously that's very short runs. And you can go back and get your stuff if you are a scav and you choose the map again. But I think, going around with the Springfield and just being like, I have limited ammo to start. Maybe I can find some more. So even if you are shooting, is knowing what shots to take is really good. Have binoculars. Mm-hmm. I can ping stuff in the distance, but I have to take note of, I have a compass and I have a big map. I can find out what, maybe you don't see yourself on the map, right? So you're literally using your environment to pinpoint you and what you're looking at.
I would be shit at that.
I
would get immediately fucking lost.
There are games that do that now, like, I think, even like DayZ mods that I've played, they have that. I think even DayZ has that. You're not pinpointing where you are, you figure out by looking at landmarks. And maybe there are some landmarks on the map which are pointed out to you. Obviously, you don't know where you are. So once you figure out where you are, you'll be like, okay, I am east of Churchtown, which has already been marked on my map as somewhere I should go because there are resistance there. So you could do something like that, but I do see it in a first person perspective. Because I think it does. I know Project Zomboid does it with the sort of like field of view, sightline stuff, but I think I just feel like the first person really puts you in it, and it's so gritty that you kind of need to be literally in the trenches to feel
I mean for a First World War game especially, I can see that, like, in it could totally have a real big effect having it first person.
I think the only downside I have with first person, this will be the last thing I'll say before we go, by the way, the only downside for first person for me is the gameplay is then directly influenced by your skill as a first person shooter player. Yes, you can have military sim concepts of, recoil, bullet drop, bullet travel, all these different things. But if you are just very good at playing these games, that is going to be influenced in the story that you're telling with these, but like, people are going to get further because they are good at these games. Whereas Project Zomboid works in a slightly different way, where you are as good as the skills of your character, in an RPG sense. Like, you can't target a zombie right in front of you with a shotgun unless you are good at shooting, or you just get very lucky. And I think that's why I like that Zomboid style for this sort of thing. But I also appreciate immersion. So either or.
I think that's a really good point.
Like, you know what? I want whoever's listening to this, you've got homework. I want you to write up like a 3-page, 4-page, however long essay of what this game is. Make this game on paper, because there's
a design document, essentially.
Let's call it that. It's a novel concept, but we've just invented it. I want you to say what this game is based on all the concepts and mechanics that we've put out here, and give me a list of all the domino effects of each mechanic you've put in there. Because there is a combination of stuff here that does make this a game. And I need it. And I really want to play it.
There's something there.
Well, Tom.
There's something there.
Where can the zero people that are going to do this send it to you? My chair again.
Well, if you aren't going to do this, that's a great segue. Beautiful. If you aren't going to do this, but want to see the other people that will do it, which is zero, you can do that at Pitch Plus Pod on Twitter, Pitch Please Pod without any vowels, Pitch Plus Pud, sorry, or send it to us on our individual Twitteries, or put it in the YouTube comments, or I don't know, smoke signals.
Please do send it to us. Yeah, sure. That's well.
Go to your nearest communications array.
Your communication station. Nearest
communication station. Yes.
And if you don't, the information is lost forever. Do you want that?
Whatever this game is to you,
fucking monster.
Let us know. Let us know if it's first person, if it's open world and harrowing, if it's a Project Zomboid, slightly more RPG story based experience. What is it? I don't know.
Fuck it. Just maybe tell us if it's shit. It might be shit.
Run Android app.
Maybe it's a Okay, that's what it actually. Yeah, we've gone back to the start. That's what it is to me. Temple Run, 1917 communication station.
1917 DLC
coming to Android soon.
Wait, what is this game called? Is it communication station?
I feel like we've had the movie, the game, so communication station. I'm going with that.
Okay.
Unless we come up with a better name between now and when.
Communication station colon relay is easier to say.
Bam. We got it.
Wow. All right. That's horrible.
No, that's not good.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Oh, bye. Goodbye.
Not 1917 run.
Very good.
Temple 17. Wait, yeah. Isn't that a band?